Greetings, adventurers. You have joined us for another episode of the Drunks and Dragons podcast. I am your dungeon master, Michael Damaro, and with me is Tim Lanning.
Hey, everybody. It is great to be here.
And none of the other people showed up.
Michael, you told me to come here to this alleyway on Tuesday, October 11th, and there's no one here. Jennifer is not here, which I thought is strange. Bachman and Nika aren't here. I don't understand what's happening.
Oh, hey, I didn't see you over there.
Carly Shields is also here.
Oh, hey, Carly.
Oh, hey, Tim.
Oh, did Adam get his leash off you and let you come to another show?
Yes, I was let out of the crate for a single episode.
Oh, the old brute force jokes we like to pull.
For those of you not in the know, Carly is on another Geekly Inc. show called Brute Force.
Yes.
And that is how we know her. Mm-hmm. And always.
Mm-hmm.
No other, that's about it.
No,
that's
about it. Yeah, I actually haven't seen you guys in person before. This is kind of strange.
Yeah, must be a big thrill for you.
A little,
Let me tell you, I'm chagrined right now.
I'm a little upset that you're not shook the way that Nika was, but hey, you know, fame affects different people different ways.
That's true.
That's true.
That is very true.
That's kidding. We know who you are. we have fun over here on drunksanddragons.com.
So, other stuff, you know, we're still doing the whole trywink.com.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
trywink.com/D&D for your chance to get up to 20 bones off your order of wine.
Right.
And if you order enough of them, you know what? They'll handle the shipping, if you know what I mean. And I don't mean fan fiction.
Oh.
And that's wink with a C.
Yes.
Tonight, we're enjoying a bottle of Ace in the Hole from Wink.
Yes.
I'm drinking another red wine. I don't know what it is because I don't have the bottle next to me. I'm sorry.
Are we actually going to open it?
Oh, yeah. I guess we should.
What else do we want to talk? Should we mention possibly that, do you like TV?
Oh, yeah. What? Wait, yeah. About the Westworld?
Yeah, there's a new show called The Westworld.
The Westworld.
And what do you know? The old Cast of Thrones kids have
those
started.
Scamps.
They're at it again.
Started a brand new whole podcast. Like, we think this show is good enough. We started a whole podcast for it.
Yes.
And it's called The Hosts.
Yes.
Right now, iTunes is a broken system, which is why right now we're number 4 in TV and films.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our podcast being so good.
Well, my arch nemesis and podcast god, David Chin just got his on iTunes. So goodbye, numbers. Oofy doofy woofy doof.
Man, let's not talk about David Chin.
That is the sound of some delicious wink wine being poured.
Mm. Thank you,
WInc.com/D&D.
.com/D&D.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Also, we should say that you've probably noticed that there's been some extra sound work going into our episodes. Mm-hmm. There's some cool sound effects and such. We were talking about, hey, Steph, do this, do that. Steph is our editor. She's still our editor. She's our senior editor. But she's actually trading off now. She's doing, what number is this?
I don't fucking know.
Okay, so Steph will be, for now, and this could change, but for now, Steph is editing the odd-numbered episodes, and David is editing the even-number episodes.
So that's where you can send your complaint letters to.
basically we're trying to up the production a little bit, and they're both helping us out, and they're both doing an amazing job.
I love it.
So yeah. So send your thanks and praise to those two. David is, I believe, at Spudcam.
Spudcam.
And Steph is Steph O'Kingston.
Radical.
Yeah,
so I think that's the basic gists of the quote-unquote business. Can you guys mute? What's that noise I'm hearing over there?
Yeah, blowing up.
Yeah, there's a...
Michael!
Sorry.
Michael, can you fucking turn that off?
I threw it on the ground, okay?
Is that gonna help?
Maybe you wanna tell people why there's sans people here today.
Oh, what the fuck is happening?
Okay,
Michael.
Last time, everybody roll a d20 who was in the last episode.
I don't have any dice next to me. Damn, you didn't warn me.
Wait, Tim, pretend this is the noise that it makes when your dice is rolling. Your dice rolling. Are you still there? He left.
Again.
Tim, you get to say what happened last time on Drunks and Dragons.
Yes. Okay, so last time on the Drunks and Dragons podcast, me and the rest of the gang that are normally on the podcast fought the three Arper fighters who were sorcerers just like Arper. There's Jarper. I don't remember the other names. I'm sorry. And we using magic, Harpet. Fisticuffs, and Harpet.
And Blarper. Blarper.
Blarper. Blarper was maybe one.
I think Blarper.
We that last one we were wishy-washy on what we wanted to name it, which was our fault. And then we basically killed him, you know. Mm-hmm. Classic battle episode where we fought. Michael hurt my feelings the whole thing. I kept on messaging him like, please stop. I'll freaking give you money if you stop. He's like, no, I'll pay you back. I'm like, oh, please don't pay me back. And then tonight, I'm getting ahead of myself. Then we walk into the Longcrier's fortress that's invisible. Nay, I run in there after burning the other sorcerer's bodies. And then as soon as Harper entered into the citadel gates, he clutched upon his head and passed out. The classic, I know how I can incapacitate a magic user. Fucked up magic shit happens to you. Scooch out. We want Tum. Now, am I playing Tum in this episode? Is Tum coming back? You didn't warn me.
But this episode does take place inside of Harper's head.
Oh, gross. That's a picture. There's a picture of the two horses fucking that he saw that one time. Over there is his dad sternly looking at him. It's the best day of his life.
There's the inappropriate love he has for her sister.
That doesn't exist. Please don't muck up this hallowed space.
Basically, this entering this tower, is it magic? Is it just deep psychological scars? But for some reason, Harper immediately flashes back to his time as an apprentice.
Okay, so I go from outside, inside, clutch head, fall ground, and now I'm a little baby boy. Like what age are we talking about? Like, am I like 13, right around the time I started? Or
you've been here at the tower for 4 months.
Okay.
It wasn't this specific. He was in a different place. Otherwise, you would know where it is.
Yeah, so I've been with Long Crier for 4 months. After I failed out of the White Spire and things like that. Okay.
Right. Yep. And so I'm gonna set the scene a little bit, if that's okay.
Please go ahead. This is all taking place. This has already happened, so we're just recounting what has already happened.
Right.
Yeah.
This is gonna be me talking for a little bit, so I'm sorry. Everyone.
No, that's my favorite. Like most people, your voice is like water on my chapped lips.
Okay. I suppose we should start with the Fordanes. The Fordanes have been servants of the Harpers for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. There was one particular Fordane named Camille, who was born very recently. She is about 16 as of the time of this flashback.
Okay.
She showed more promise. I mean, they're servants, but the Fordanes would be, you know, butlers and sort of higher level servants in the Harpers. Harper's establishment. They might even be tutors. They might even, you know, help us with things like that.
Like family, but not.
Right. There's this one particular Fordane, Camille Fordane, showed great promise as a youth. She was just extremely smart, beautiful. She was kind and caring, and everyone just sort of liked her. You know, she was very likable. And as Harper was growing up, sorry, as Titus was growing up.
Thank you. Harper is my last name.
Harper is your last name. As Titus was growing up, Camille was sort of acted as like a playmate, but also like kind of like a babysitter. She even helped tutor him in classes because she was very smart just with his, early on before he went off to the White Spire kind of stuff.
Yeah. How do you do a mage hand? What's a tree?
Yeah. Stuff.
So
like
many flashcards.
Yeah.
Right. So they were, it was still kind of a servant to young lordling relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But about a year and a half ago, there was an incident.
Oh, don't tell him about the incident. Michael, please don't, okay? Yeah. I agreed to this, but don't tell him about the incident.
They have to know about the incident.
Okay, fine.
So Harper had gone off to the White Spire to study to be a wizard. And he just wasn't great at it. He didn't study as hard as he should have, maybe. It just didn't come to him. It just wasn't.
I got distracted. There are bullies. You know, I had a temper. What are you gonna say?
So he was on the verge of failing out, and he came home for holiday, and he was supposed to be, you know, doing his work, and Camille wanted to help him, you know, in his studies. And he was like, oh, I'm a wizard school now. Like, you're just a dumb servant.
Yeah, get out of my face.
Like, come on. And then, but, you know, and they ended up getting into like a really big argument. As they got into this argument, it became very emotional for Harper, because Harper is like, Titus is like,
thank you.
Titus is, you know, he's under a lot, he's like 11 and a half years old, but he's under a huge amount of stress.
Yeah. Let's not puberty aside, you know, there's magic boiling within under his skin, you know, right. There's stress from his papa, things right. like that.
You know, he's already under this huge amount of stress, and he's just like, he just wants to come home, and then he's been getting hassled by a servant, of all people.
Yeah, who's this telling me what to do?
Right. Titus actually gets, it's going to be really hard for me. Titus actually gets, so worked up that he feels this energy inside of him building up, unlike, you know, the things that he can't get by reading a book and studying a scroll. He feels this power building up in him, and he can't control it, and it bursts out of him in the form of a lightning bolt. and it actually hits Camille.
No.
Yeah. It mars her face. She gets a scar on her cheek. It's, you know, she isn't like hideous now, but, you know, she isn't as pretty as she once was, let's say.
I'm sorry. I said I was sorry.
But here's the thing. Camille never blamed Titus. She never made him feel bad. And, you know, because of it, Titus realized that, like, he was grateful. And he realized, I'm grateful to a servant. And then it started occurring to him that these are people, too. And
yeah.
And maybe he learned a little something that, you know, he kept with him that sort of made Titus the person that he is today.
Yeah. It was a growth moment, but a bad time at the same time.
Right. And it was, you know, he didn't do it on purpose.
No, he never would do that on purpose.
Right. But still, you know, it was, he obviously affected this person's life in a way that he couldn't.
I shot her in the face.
He couldn't undo.
Yeah.
So that is where, that's just a little backstory.
Yes.
Where we are now is that, that very event kind of put old Tidy on one certain Longcrier's notice list. And Harper went back to school. He failed out of the White Spire. Old Anthony Harper tried to get him into like any other wizarding school he could.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally ran out of options, he turned to this guy Longcrier, who had been promising him that like I can unbottle the power in your son,
yeah,
and make him what you want him to be.
Yeah. Like, hey man, he shot a friggin' servant with a lightning bolt when he's 11 and a half years young, you know, that's a big deal.
Right. So Titus went off to train with Longcrier, and you know, about 4 months have gone by, but you know, it turns out Longcrier is not a nice person.
I hate him.
And essentially, you know, Titus is not a dum-dum. He's pieced together that essentially they are trying to put him under enough stress to get him to activate again.
And it's terrible.
And, you know, it seems like really shitty. But, you know, it's like he can bear it. He can get through it. There's one other apprentice whose name is Feslin Wolfblood. And he's a lowborn guy, but he had, you know, he had the same sort of innate power that Titus Harper had.
Harper, comma Titus.
Harper, comma Titus. Had. And he's been there a little bit longer. And recently, he went off to do. So they go off to do these trainings in this training room,
mm-hmm.
And he came back from this training and in like a stretcher. He was in bed for almost a week. He had this horrible burn on his arm that was like a sort of brilliant orange color. And almost seemed like a tattoo. But it was, you know, it seemed like it nearly killed him. And at this point, Titus is, you know, saying to himself, like, this place is dangerous. You know, I need to get out of here. So he writes home, like, hey, can I please come home? This place is terrible.
Yeah, dear Papa, dear Mama, Longcrier is going to try to kill me. Please let me come home. I'll be good now. Please let me just go home.
But instead of bringing Titus home, they send to him a piece of home. They send...
the doormat.
They send Camille Fordain to go and look after him, and because they essentially think he's just a little homesick, and so they'll send his close friend and servant Camille to, and that'll help. And so that's where we're gonna pick up our story. We will pick up the story as Camille enters the dormitory where Titus is staying.
First of all, let me say thank you, Michael. These were beautiful words, and I'm weeping over here
to hear all
this stuff.
I can see it. Strangely, this dormitory, it looks like it could hold maybe six people. But it's only just you and this one other kid.
Yeah.
And now Camille. And Camille enters the room and says something.
She's entering the room where Titus is?
She's walking into the dormitory with her bags.
Okay.
And she's now there to spend time with old Titus.
Okay, so Camille walks in. She is fairly light blonde and with long hair. She kind of covers up one side of her face with her hair just because she's a little bit self-conscious about the scar she has there, which makes people uncomfortable. But she's got two fairly large bags hung on each shoulder. She's not a fairly stout 16-year-old, so she does look like she's laid down pretty heavily. Immediately, she'll drop the bags off her shoulder, which kind of thunk pretty heavily on the stone floor. And she puts her hands on her hips and she says, "Young master,
Camille, you came to bring me home. My Palor's hammer. Please, we gotta go. That's a lot of bags."
Yeah, she starts dragging them across the floor towards his bunk.
I don't have a lot of things here, but we just go now. Seriously, we gotta go now.
Listen, young master, I would love to bring you home. That would be phenomenal. But, your father spoke to me directly, and I can't go against his wishes. He asked me to, I can't bring you home, but at least I can keep you company here and help you with your, trials and tribulations it seems like you're having.
Camille, if you can't get me out of here, then you gotta get out of here yourself. I'm gonna die. Is the other guy still in there,
He isn't in there right this second, but he'll probably be back soon.
You see that bed right there? The other apprentice just has been in it for like a week, and he's just in the other room. Dude, Long Crier is a madman.
She looks.
You gotta get out of here.
Over to the empty bed, back to her young lord, and it's like, I'm sure it's not as bad as you think it is. There
Fuck
has to
you.
Be. Young lord.
Sorry.
That is inappropriate language for someone of your station.
Sorry. I'm just mad. They just keep effing with me here, and I'm just on edge at all times. So
a couple weeks ago, what they do is they take Titus into this training room, which is just called the training room.
I hate the training room.
And you do hate the training room. A couple weeks ago, they had it so that Titus would had to just sit there as just thousands of gallons of water just poured down on him for hours, it seemed like.
I didn't like that.
And then, like, another time, they gave him a glass candle and locked him into this room. And told him he couldn't leave until he lit the glass candle. And
I can't friggin' light a glass candle, idiot!
And Titus was in that room for 2 days without any food or anything before he eventually just flipped out and smashed the candle, and they eventually let him out. But, I mean, they're doing sort of shitty stuff to him.
Yeah.
Just for you, Tim.
Thank you. I tell Camille all about that, and then I basically say, well, if you won't leave, then I guess we're in this together. And then I give her a big old Harper
Titus
family hug. No, Harper, I saved myself, you fuck. I said a Harper family hug.
I was going to say a Harper hug, meaning just me, but then I didn't.
She hugs him right back enthusiastically and then starts unpacking her bags. And she brings cookies that he remembers from childhood from their cook, and some
rhubarb cookies,
comforts from home to make him feel a little better.
Is this ancient creme brulee?
You know it is.
Oh, well, okay. Well, maybe with you here, I'll be strong and we'll get through this together, okay? And I'll protect you.
Clasps an arm to his.
Classic. But you can't sleep in here. You're a girl.
Oh, of course not. I'm not being trained. I'll be in the servants' quarters.
Gross, Camille. But is it okay if I have to, if I can sleep in your room sometimes?
You don't even have to ask.
Okay. Thank you. This is my stuff. This is where I cry at night, right here.
Oh, over there, yes, is where I wrote the letter. Salt stains on your pillow.
Yep. Two big wet rings there. There's where I wrote the letter to ask me to come home. See, Dad didn't want that. He didn't believe me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
At this point, Fezlin walks in. You just refer to him as Fez.
Yeah.
And bro, he kind of has a sort of glassy look in his eyes. And he used to be just such a firecracker.
A little too much of a spit cracker,
right,
if you ask me.
And he goes, "Hey, Harper, who's this?"
"Don't call me Harper. No one's going to call me that. They'll never call me that. And I'll never be king, baby." He doesn't say all those things. I just want to throw a couple goofs in every now and again, you know.
Yeah, gotta do what you gotta do.
This is my, and I look and breathe in. This is my friend, Camille.
She gives him a very proud mama kind of look. And swipes one of his cookies and walks it over to Fez and says, "It's nice to meet you. Would you like one?"
Are you a new apprentice?
Oh gosh, no. I'm just here to keep the young lord company.
Please just call me Titus around here. It's gonna get weird.
You should get out of here. This is not a good place.
Why? Did he do anything?
I don't.
Longcrier do anything else to you?
No, but they say I have another training session tomorrow, and I don't know if I can do it again.
Tell you what, Fez. Titus stands at his full 4'8", and he looks over at Camille. He's like, I'll tell Longcrier that I'll go in your stead. Okay, how about that? I'll give you some more time to rest up, buddy, to eat these good ass cookies. I mean, good A cookies. And then maybe about it. Maybe with Camille here, I'll be stronger for it. Yeah, that's it. That's the stuff.
Are you serious? You seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously do that for me?
Yeah. See, Camille, I'm strong and doing great here.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so happy right now. She wipes a tear away.
Harper's hands shaking like a wooden roller coaster.
You know, you have your normal dinner. They send Camille off to have dinner with the servants.
So how many people are here? We got Fez, we got Longcrier, now we have Camille, we have other servants. You said you can't take that back.
There are other servants. The person that you interact with the most is a dwarf named Asker Thunderbeard.
Asker Thunderbeard.
Asker, okay. Thunderbeard.
I love it.
And he, don't be shocked, he is not pleasant to be around.
No, you hate dwarves.
I love dwarves.
Every dwarf around, like, acerbic. Not nice. Smells of pee.
And he's actually the one, Asker is the one who always brings you to these training sessions.
Okay.
And it's the next morning, he comes in, he's holding a tray, and on the tray is a flask. And he goes, Fez, it's time for your training.
I'll do it. Asker, I'll do it today. Let me go. I'm ready. Tell Longcrier I'm ready.
You're gonna go? You really think you're ready?
You know I'm ready, you effer.
All right, kid.
I'll show all you fools that I'll be the greatest pupil that Longcrier has ever seen.
All right, kid. Sure. Drink this potion and come with me.
What is it?
It's a potion that helps unlock your inner abilities.
Is it good?
I don't know. They don't give it to me. They only give it to apprentices.
Fine. Drink it here or?
Yeah, right now in front of me.
Okay. Okay. And I just friggin' sip it.
All right.
It tastes bad.
Drink it, all of it.
And I want to roll to see how good I do. I got an 18.
You drink all of it.
Oh, it tasted as bad as you look.
Yeah, keep giving me lip, kid. That's a great idea.
You got this, young master, she says, and she's like clenching her fists in front of her, but standing in the back of the room.
Call me Titus and wish me luck. Thank you for that. Sorry. Okay. Ugh, I feel weird.
Okay. He's like, all right, follow me. And so.
Okay.
So you start walking towards the training room, which you've been to before. It's a big sort of empty square brick.
Yeah.
Like ceramic. Holy shit. Cement looking room. I guess it would be stone. It'd be stone. It's a big stone room.
We have an event. Let's not break the scientific community's world here.
But like, you know, they're as you know, Longcrier is magical and he has brought in sort of things before, like the
cement.
The time that he brought in, you know, basically a waterfall to drench you for hours and hours.
What's it going to be this time? A room full of bees? A dog that keeps crying in the corner, a ghost that tells bad riddles. I'll take it all on. I'll show all of you.
So as you're walking towards the room, everything kind of starts getting a little fuzzy.
I feel bad, by the way. I don't know if I can do this anymore. Okay.
He goes, no, I changed my mind. You're in, kid.
Oh, okay.
And you're almost like stumbling a little bit. That's the thing you drank clearly is doing something to you.
Yeah. Okay.
So he brings you into the antechamber, which is you've had this experience several times before. Every time you've had a training session, you're brought into the antechamber. Asker will he puts down a target, like a target ass target.
Yeah, like that a Robin Hood would shoot and split an arrow in twain.
He leaves, and Longcrier comes in.
Hello. Master Longcrier, I took over today for Fez. I hope that's okay. And I'll show you that I'm the best apprentice you have.
Very, very good, Harper. Titus. Very good, Titus. He's very tall, thin. He has got a big goatee. And generally looks like the Monarch from Venture Brothers.
Good, very good.
And he goes, all right, Harper, destroy the target with your innate abilities to unleash hellish lightning into this world.
Maybe you should have made it easier. I rolled a completely natural one. Why is this happening to me?
You search for that feeling inside of you that you felt that one time, and you can't find it. And the target is it is totally fine. Nothing happens. Yes, that's enough. That's enough, Titus.
I can do it. I can do it.
No, you need more training.
What do you mean, more training?
Another training session. I will see you next time. And he leaves the room. Asker comes back in. he takes off.
Is this the first time that he's asked me to shoot a thing?
No, he does it every time.
Fuck. I mean, F.
So Asker comes in. He takes off this big thing of keys, unlocks the training room door.
Oh, I see. Antechamber is where he tests me every single time.
Right.
I frigged it up.
Right.
Like, Asker, I can't do it. With whatever you gave me, I feel bad.
He goes, just get in there, kid.
All right.
As you start to walk into the room, it starts to change around you, and things seem like the walls are melting, and before you know it, you seem to be in what almost looks like an alchemist's lab.
Okay.
And there's all these sort of beakers and vials and weird things set up. And he closes the door, and you hear almost like a buzzing sound when he closes it, and you're just here in this room.
I want to percept to see it. Oh, I want to try the door. I want to try to get out the door.
Okay. So you go to open the door. Roll a d20 for me.
So for you, anything. Motherfucker! One!
You touch the door, and you get blasted backwards from a huge electrical charge. And your hand is literally smoking.
If only I could do that. Help that door do that. F. Okay. All right. Breathe. I would like to examine the room. Check to see if there's any of these bottles. And I want to shout out, how do I get out of here? What am I doing?
You hear it muffled from the other room. Just open the door.
I tried that. It was a shocking experience.
You just gotta bear it.
What? No, I can't do that. I guess I'm looking around the room for anything to, maybe, I don't know, open the door with? Like, do I have tongs? Do I have a tong?
Why don't you roll for me?
No, I keep rolling really bad. You guys are passing notes, and I don't like it. I rolled a 10. There's nothing more terrible than the two of you smirking while passing notes. And don't give me that face, Carly. I know you're saying, hey, put a shark in there or something. I rolled a 10.
You don't see anything.
Okay, I want to go up to the beakers and I want to give them a quick sniff. That's an 18.
They sort of dissolve when you get close to them, and everything goes fuzzy and you sort of wobble a little bit, and you've got a good feeling that they're not real.
Got it. So what I want to do is close my eyes and walk towards the walls and pat them, because if I can't see the weirdness, I won't feel weird about not seeing the walls. Am I right?
Right. So how thoroughly are you doing this? Are you like going all the way around the room?
All the way around the room.
Okay. You get to the door and you get shocked again.
Ah! Why? What just happened? Okay. So I'm in a room where I'm getting shocked. The room's fake. Can I go up to the door, look at it, close my eyes, and I want to reach on the other side to where the handle isn't. Like, what if it's a fake mirage door, and I want to grab the actual handle, which is on the other
side?
There
is no actual. The handle is the only real handle.
What happens if I push the door?
Well,
and not the handle.
So I will tell you. You notice now that the door is actually open, just a tiny little crack.
Okay. Harper will take off his boot.
It appears to be a very heavy door, though.
Oh. So, but can I get my fingies in the middle?
Yeah, you could. It's such a small crack that you'd have to sort of wedge your fingers in there. Like, you couldn't do it without touching both sides.
Okay, so I'm in a room with everything that's fake, and I want to lay down on the ground. I want to take my shoes off, and I want to weasel my feet through the crack.
So you're touching the door with your feet.
No. Don't say it like that. I mean, yes, I am.
As soon as you touch it, you get shocked.
Fuck!
And it's like, you realize, like, you could... It's not such a powerful shock that, like...
Oh,
you could,
like, each time I'm hitting it, if I, like, just grit and bear it, maybe I can...
Like, you could maybe grab on and pull, but it's gonna be horrible.
All right, I take my shoes.
Okay.
Put them on my hands. And then I clasp on the door's handle with my rubber soles, and I try to open it.
Hold on one second. I'm reading a note that Carly's passing me.
You gotta stop it. I'm so scared.
It's too heavy to do it with such awkward way.
I'm not getting purchased with my shoe hands.
Exactly.
Harper wants to remember a time at the White Spire when he saw novices blowing wind, and he wants to conjure a wind around the door to open it and just the crack. He says, maybe I can't do lightning as good, but maybe if I just... He just like looks at his hands and rubs them and blows into them to see if he can conjure anything. And I roll... A two.
You search for that feeling inside of you, and you just can't find it.
Okay. Okay. Titus will just take his shoe, put it in his mouth, and bite down and just friggin' grab that fucking door. I mean, effing door. And Yizank puts his left foot, in my mind, the door's handle is on the left.
Okay.
And it's opening an inward motion. That's okay. What I'm seeing.
That's perfect.
Perfect. So he puts his left foot on the wall and friggin' pulls and bites down with all of his 13-year-old might.
Okay, so you pull and you bite down and you're yanking the door, and you can feel it giving, and there's just electricity just surging through you, and it feels horrible. And you feel it move. It probably moves about 3-4 inches before you can't take it anymore, and you just have to let go.
I fall down on my fanny. Yeah. Is there a visible crack? Meaning,
yeah,
can I?
You've got, there's about 4 inches now of open
where,
door.
So, okay.
And also, so, you look at your hands and they're like blistered.
This time I will put my shoes on. Hopefully I didn't bite a hole through one of them. And I'll wedge my feet in between that crack in the door without touching the outside of the door, but the inner side, the antechamber side. Mm-hmm. And with the bottom of my feet, I'll push it open.
You find yourself still getting electrocuted.
Rubber. Ow. But is the door moving?
No, I mean, are you okay? It's gonna be like the same thing as last time, where you're just...
Why
gonna
are you
be,
doing this to me?
I don't know.
It hurts.
Well,
okay.
Like, yeah.
So Harper will rip a little bit off of his shirt off. You can do this. And then he just friggin' gets all of his body, and he pulls again, I guess, and tries to get it open enough that he can get his body through and get out.
Okay. So you grab on, you pull, and it's just horrible. You're vibrating with all just the...
You see my skeleton?
You see your skeleton. But the door is moving, and you can feel it pulling open. As you feel it moving, the edges of your vision start getting dark, and they start closing in around you, and the room sort of starts melting away, and you realize...
I don't let go.
You realize you're passing out.
I don't let go.
And you feel like you hear a voice whispering to you, "Young master," and you pass out.
I don't. Okay. Fuck. All right. I probably wake up next to Aludra and all them. Hey guys, what's up? I had a weird dream. None of you were there. It was the best. Just kidding.
You wake up in a puddle of jet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you wake up and you actually have your arms are all bandaged.
Uh-huh.
And you feel like you've got sort of electrical burns on your arms.
By Paylor's Mastiff.
And Camille is there.
You can hear a little basin of water kind of hit the floor as she's immediately standing beside your bed and saying, young master, are you okay?
What happened?
Don't sit up.
Did I get through the door?
I mean, the door was open, but I'm so sorry. I didn't believe you.
How long was I out for?
It's been about a day now.
Am I okay? I feel bad. I feel like S, Camille. I'm telling you, I feel like S over here.
Well, I'm proud of you for not swearing.
Thank you.
It's understandable. You have severe burns all over your arms. What did they do to you?
They had a door. They made me drink that weird stuff that tasted really bad. And then I had to open... It was a room full of fake... It was like a fake alchemist room, and I tried to touch things, and everything was fake. I don't know if it was some riddle, and I didn't pass it, but I just knew that I had to open that door, or else he would leave me in here for days and days and days again. And I didn't want you to worry about me, I guess. So
please lay back down and take a deep breath.
Harper tries to stand up, and I roll a 7 to not throw up.
You throw up a little bit.
She immediately is there with a cool cloth on your forehead and cleaning you up.
Please, do you hold my hair
please,
back?
Just, yes. She brushes your hair back. And she says, please lay down. The healers, well, they won't let the healers come and see you. I'm not sure if they'll be lenient in a couple days and allow them to come heal you, but you need to reserve your strength. You need to lay down.
I do lay down. How's Fez? Did he get better?
He seems, I mean, he's around. He seems okay. He's not super happy.
It looks
he's
like
still here. Yeah.
You did take Fez's place, so that was very brave of you.
Oh, stop it. Come on. Just do what anyone would do.
I'm sorry, Titus. I'm sorry that you had to go through that for me, but I think you probably saved my life.
Hey, it's the least I could do. I mean, what are friends for?
Sure.
What would you have done if let me set the scene. You drink a bad potion thing.
Yeah, they make you drink that every time.
Oh, I knew that. Then you... Did I know that, Doug?
No, you didn't.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, that was this is a new thing for you.
That was my first potion zone. I tried to cast a lightning bolt on the target. Couldn't do it, obviously. And then he locked me in a fake alchemist chamber. Did I misunderstand the riddle, do you think? Or what?
I don't... Man, you see weird stuff when you drink those potions. I don't... None of it ever makes sense to me.
What have you seen?
I was in a stable and
see a horse fuck. I mean F.
No. But you know, okay, I end up blacking out a lot.
I blacked out too.
I don't know. I don't think I'm gonna make it much longer.
Camille, is there anything you can do to help my buddy over here? I mean, at first I hated him, but now that I'm going through all this too, gosh, it seems hell.
Well, I can speak to the servants down below and see if there's any news or listen. I'm not sure what I can do right now, but
can you write my father? And now that you're here, he'll know. Please, you have to tell my mother. Tell my mother.
Of course,
she'll.
I've already actually written home, so I wrote to my father.
What'd they say? Okay.
And he'll speak with your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, my dad might listen to your dad. Sure. That might work. Okay. Well, I feel like I'm gonna throw up again, so I'm just gonna close my eyes if that's cool. Will you tell me?
Tell me about the time that I did good.
I can tell you a story if it will make you feel better. Oh, guess I don't.
Oh, he sleep. Clenching his teeth, clenching his fist.
I want to hear the story.
Oh, so she puts kind of brushes your hair back and puts a cool cloth across your head and says, even knowing your sleep, she says, when I was young, I would have been probably about 7. I was playing with your sister. You may not have known because you were very young yourself, but I was assigned as Adira's play thing. Before
I move a little bit.
Before you and I started spending time together. And one time she, well, I mean, you know your sister. She ruined a priceless piece of art. And when it was found, she blamed it on me and never thought twice about it. They were going to take me out and cast me out of the only place I'd ever known as home. And I was very young. I would not have been able to survive on the streets by myself. But just as they were about to ship me off, I remember you. And you were, well, you must have been very young at that time, about 4 or 5. And you came in and you spoke to your father and you pleaded with him to be kind. And, well, you explained what really happened, even though it made Adira very mad at you. And I'm not sure what she did to you in response to that. But I've never forgotten that. And it's the reason that I wanted to protect you this whole time, because I saw this kind boy, someone able to be more than the family they were born in, and I wanted to make sure that I could protect that boy. Don't worry, I will make sure that we survive this place.
Harper seems to unclench his bod.
She sits with you while you sleep.
I sleep.
A couple weeks go by. Harper's wounds heal up, and he has.
What happens when I take the fucking bandages off? Do I look like, is it badass? Tell
you
me about it.
You have these burns.
Oh, shit. I mean, Camille, what am I going to do about
this? It almost looks like tattoos.
I don't want to be rude, but with what happened, the incident on your face, but what do you, I'm going to look like a big weirdo.
Oh, yeah, no offense taken.
Yeah, but mine's all, they're snaking up and down my arms in these awesome patterns.
You don't have, like, a ton. You just have, like, some little minor ones.
I have, just those ones.
Yeah.
Don't worry. When we get you home, I'm sure that your father will have proper healers look at them to make sure you're not marred.
I'll never be able to get married if they don't. I'm married to another big house if I don't look badass. I mean, bad A.
So a couple weeks go by. Asker comes to you again and says, "Hey, young lord, it's time for you to have another training session."
Are you talking to me? And I smirk and I give a little daps to Fez.
Fez just kind of looks at you crazily.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. I can do it. Are you sure it's today?
It's today. Here's your potion. Drink up.
It's my birthday.
It's not. Okay. Drink your potion, kid.
Okay. Fine. Effing drink it. I got 13.
All right. You drink it really good.
Camille is off to the side watching you with a lot of concern on her face at this point.
Harper invents the thumbs up and gives it to Camille. I'm gonna
figure this one out. I'm gonna blow the heck up out of that target today. Camille, say something like, "Oh, I'm dying," or something like that to me.
I'm dying.
Okay, I'm dying. Okay. Ooh, I feel weird.
Ooh. All right, come on, kid.
All right, Asker.
So he brings you in. He into the antechamber. He sets up the target. He leaves for a minute, and you're just sort of standing in the chamber.
I walk up to the target, put my hand on it, and kind of get my hands into the hay a little bit. I assume it's hay. Is it hay?
Yes.
I assume it's hay. Okay, thank you. That's a close one. And I want to just... I'm concentrating on shooting electricity into it.
So you're sort of searching for that feeling, and you know what? You feel like you can almost feel it. Like, it's mm-hmm. almost there. And you don't know if it's the heart, if it's the tattoos sort of lending you their power or what. Yeah.
I think back on all of that electricity that happened to me, and I'm like, yeah. I try to do the opposite of that.
Right.
Where instead of going into me, it comes out of me. And I'm just like, and I roll a 19.
Well, it's not time for the test yet. You're just in the room by yourself.
Oh, there's no target?
There's a target. He set up the target and left, and you're waiting for a long car to come in.
Oh, shit. Never mind.
Yeah.
But no, I fuck that. I do that. I do, before long car gets in, I try to electrocute it so that when he walks in, it looks cool.
You can almost feel it, and you can almost do it, but it eludes you. And you do, you look around the room, and it's a very, you realize for the first time that the door has like a little window in it.
Okay.
Which you can just barely see into.
Okay, I want to peer in there. Got to get my peer on.
You peer into the room, and it looks like it looks like a house, like a somebody's living quarters, but they look like they're on fire. You hear footsteps.
Okay, I try to leave. I try to leave out of the antechamber back into the dormitory.
As you're about to grab the door handle, it swings open and Long Crier is there. Hello. Hello, Harper.
Hello, Master. How are you today?
I'm fine. Do you feel any more power? Do you feel like you could unleash a devastating lightning bolt and destroy this target?
I do, but not today. I don't feel like it today. I know I could do it, but I don't know if I certainly cannot do it today, and I know if my father were here, he would agree. It is too rainy.
So you're going to forfeit the test?
Well, I'll try again next week.
Okay, well, we'll just commence with training then.
No. Let me. Long Crier, you're not telling me what to do. At the White Spire, they said that I read all these books and they had me do all these things. You just keep like doing weird stuff to me. Like, what do I do?
You didn't even notice him come in, but Asker like bodily picks you up and essentially just throws you into the room and slams the door behind you. You seem to be in this. There's like, I mean, it's not like engulfed in flames. It just seems like stuff's on fire.
Am I coughing?
You're not coughing weirdly. You definitely smell smoke, but you get a feeling that's probably not real.
I want to timidly move my hand through one of the burnt zones.
It feels hot. Before you touch it, it feels hot.
The last one was fake. This one, that's hot. That's bad. I'm gonna die in here. Oh, I'm gonna die.
You hear through the door. You hear Asker going, "Why don't you summon some rain? Maybe put out the fires."
I will summon some rain, you cock nosed piece of shit.
Go ahead, roll.
I wanna. You freaking. Butt head 18.
You feel so close. You can almost. There's like drips of water are coming out of the ends of your fingers, just as you do that from the roof. Apparently.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Apparently, a bundle of chains falls.
Oh my god. Stupid idiot.
And you're covered.
Oh, these chains, they burn! Okay, I'm done.
And the room swirls around you as you black out.
Oh! I see what's happened. Did I miss any goofs in the first room? Okay, I black out this time.
Yeah.
As I scream, oh, the chains, they burn. Oh. You are the worst person I've ever met.
Well, thank you, everybody. We don't have Nika here to do the whole thing at the end. Maybe somebody can splice it in. I don't know. But if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter. We're at Geekly Inc. or at D&D Podcast. I'm at Thrifty Nerd.
Tim Lane.
I'm at Animated Me with the E's of Threes.
Didn't get your fill of action and adventure in this episode of Drunks and Dragons? Well, check out these other Geekly Inc. shows, including Brute Force, Cast of Thrones, Cthulhu and Friends, Transformation Sequence Podcast, and Your Wizardary. You can also visit us at geeklyinc.com, where you can read the always updating content, check out some fan art by the talented community artist, and just interact with all of the other Geeklies. Also, make sure to head over to our shop and buy some merchandise for your next adventuring quest. When you've finished with investigating people, head over to iTunes to leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to do another listen through? Check out the D&D Podcast abridged episodes available for download now. All the fun in a tenth of the time. When you've finished catching up, don't forget to head over to patreon.com/D&D Podcast, where you can donate a monthly amount to help us make this podcast better with each episode. New episodes come out every Monday, so go subscribe, get your quest log filled, and get ready for things to get dicey.
Thanks everybody for joining us. Until next time, it's been dicey.
So dicey.